Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And this is February the 10th, the year 2012. So we're live tonight. And we're leaving on Sunday. So we'll be gone for a whole month. So it'll mean it'll be back to the archives again while we're gone, because it's too hard to do it when you're crossing so many time zones. But I think we announced before that Monday begins the caller. Next Monday, we're starting the class in L.A., and that's going to be a week-long class, but that one is totally full.
It's sold out.
It's maxed out in L.A. Yeah. People are still...
Don't promote it.
People are still emailing us and wanting to know if they
get... It's busting at the seams. So.
They get in, and we said we have... We've overdid it.
We've maxed that room as much as we can.
There's no way to do that. But the next week, what is that, the 19th? It's the next Monday anywhere. We'll be in Kona, in Hawaii, and there's still openings in that class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to take a vacation in the middle of the winter.
I have somebody coming in from Germany just to do that, doing the class in Hawaii from Germany.
Okay, well, whenever we leave here on Sunday, they said that night we're going to have a big snowstorm here, so we're getting out of here just in time, end up in where it's warm.
Yeah.
But then after Hawaii, I go on to Shanghai, and that one is being handled by somebody else over there. So Hawaii is still open anyway. Okay, did we hear a beep? Is there somebody on there already?
Yes, hello, Dolores.
Okay.
You can barely hear you.
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question concerning dreams following a quantum healing session. I'm just wondering if any of your clients have reported back any change to their dream state. And part B to the question is, did the higher conscious explain to you why we dream and the purpose for it?
Yes, and when I do my sessions, we always tell the person to expect to have strange dreams, because even when I'm doing my group hypnosis, I tell them, when you do this, you open the door, and the door stays open for at least 3 nights. And so for the next 3 nights after a session, you will have dreams that are, the subconscious is trying to fill in some more information. And I usually tell the person that so they'll be expecting it. But I say, remember, dreams are in symbolism. And that means they're very hard to understand. But the information is there. I always tell my clients to write down any dreams they have following the session and try to analyze it, because there is still information coming in.
As far as like what the subconscious... You've talked to them before about dreams. That's what was your other part of her question was.
But,
you know,
did you have a session with one of my students?
No, I haven't. Haven't had a session yet. But I was wanting to know because I've been studying that part of ourselves, the dream state.
Yeah.
But I haven't completed my session yet. No.
That's what I thought you meant, that you had already had the session and were experiencing dreams. It doesn't happen every time, but I tell the client not to be concerned if it does happen, because there's more information coming in. And, yeah, I had a session about a month ago where somebody wanted to know more about dreams. Some of my clients, I tell them to make a list of questions when they come in for the session of what they want to find out. Some of them come in with a whole lot of pages of dreams, and they want them analyzed. I don't like to do that, because I like to focus more on the person's life and their problems. But when I do have the session and we bring up the dreams, the subconscious always says, seek to understand. It's so simple. And I said, yeah, it's simple to you. It's just complicated to us. So it was a month or more ago, I had a client, and he was wanting to know about dreaming. And the subconscious says, well, do you know that you do go out of your body every night? Do you know that?
Hello?
I've been reading about that, and I do believe that.
Yeah, everybody, every single person goes out of their body every night because the body is what gets tired. The soul, the spirit, the real you doesn't get tired. It doesn't need to rest. So we get awful bored sitting around waiting for the body to wake up so it could continue what it's doing. So while the body is asleep, the real you is off having all kinds of adventures. And you go all over the planet to all kinds of places. You go into outer space to other planets. You go to other dimensions. You're having all kinds of adventures. And, you know, because you're always connected to the body by the silver cord, whenever you get ready to come back to wake up, you're like reeled in, just like a fishing reel, and you're reeled back into your body again. And you usually don't remember these journeys unless you remember dreams of flying or dreams of being in unfamiliar places. And some people can train themselves to remember their dreams. But with that in mind, about a month ago, one of my clients wanted to have more information, and the subconscious said, remember the dreams, some of them, are from these journeys, and you are going into other dimensions, you're going into parallel realities, you're going into the future, you're going into all kinds of possibilities. That's what makes dreams hard to understand. They're not just relating to the things that happen in this life. Some of them are, but they said they go into all these other things that we're not even aware of. Because when you're out of the body, you're traveling to all those places. So they said some of the dreams, that's why they're hard to understand, because they relate to our journeys to other dimensions, parallel realities, and other possibilities and probable realities and futures.
And time would really be different if you're moving in and out of dimensions and doing things like that. So I imagine that would do something interesting in a dream as well.
Yeah, because time is an illusion anyway, and it's only Earth people, that, you know, that mankind that has invented time. So that's all mixed up. So that has a lot to do with dreams, and this is what makes it complicated to understand. I think of dreams as being entertainment for the body while the other part's out journeying, and it's just to keep the body entertained.
Maybe that way so it doesn't feel left out.
Okay. Then it tries to piece it all together, right. But it doesn't know anything. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I will continue to analyze my dreams, because it seems that the more that I do so, the more they're making sense to me. So it's sort of like something learned.
Well, when I studied metaphysics years and years and years ago, we were told to keep a dream journal and to write them down. And for years I kept dream journals. And it was interesting to see, even though they don't make sense, it was interesting stories. So it's very good for you to do that. Keep a dream journal and write your dreams down.
Most definitely. Thank you very much.
Okay, and I hope you have a good session when you pick someone to go to.
Thank you. I will.
Just remember, they're all practicing out there, so I hope you have a good session with them. Okay.
Thank you. I look forward to that.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Okay, so anyway, it's going to be interesting to me when we go to Shanghai. Julia's going to leave me in Hawaii. She's coming back after Hawaii, and I've got to go on to Shanghai.
Don't you feel sorry for her? Don't worry, we're not leaving her out there by herself.
Well, we like to break the trip up anyway, and that makes it easier. That's one of the longest flights there is otherwise. And if we break it up, we only have to fly from Hawaii. But it's one of our other staff that it is at our office in England is going to be coming from that direction and joining up with me in Shanghai. So I won't be alone after I get there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the language. I think it's going to be like Russia all over again.
We'll see.
It'll be interesting, but it'll mean the class is going to be with translation. Mm-hmm. And so that's always interesting because it takes longer, and I hope they don't lose a lot through translation.
Right.
Okay. But that's what we're going to be doing, so we won't be back. I won't be back anyway until the middle of March. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably miss the whole winter.
That's okay.
I missed the summer. Mm-hmm. We left in the middle of June when it was 105. Missed the summer. I missed the fall. Mm-hmm. I come back in the winter, and we haven't had a winter yet.
I miss missing the fall. That would have been nice to caught a little bit more of the fall. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what temperature it is or what time zone or what season or anything.
Nope.
So body just tries to figure out where it is. Okay. Well, we welcome any calls tonight. I better give out the toll-free number. It's 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And we welcome calls because the only thing we're going to do tonight, I'm going to be discussing some questions that have come in with emails. And we get hundreds of emails. I just pull out the ones that I think might be interesting.
Or representative of, because a lot of them are similar. And so it's kind of representative of the whole.
Yeah, what people are interested in. But all of you who do email in, we get so many emails. You just wouldn't believe the hundreds and hundreds of emails that we get. And it's absolutely impossible for me to answer everything. I try to read the majority of them when I'm here, which becomes a full-time mm-hmm. thing. And then the office tries to answer some, but it's impossible to answer them all. So don't feel left out if you don't get an answer. Just know you are contacting us and we are paying attention to them. But some people email, and the next week they'll email again and say, why haven't you answered me yet? That's the reason why we're still wading through it. And sometimes it can be a month before I find one and I think, oh, this should have been answered. That's the trouble. There's just so much. And everybody in the office has all got all these other jobs to
right.
do.
And we're going through a lot of changes. So
we're growing.
A lot of growth spurts and so.
We're growing tremendously. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to delegate a lot of this stuff work out to other people. Okay. So if anybody has a question, tonight would be a good time to do it. Because it'll be archived and you can't call in with an archive.
No.
Unless you want to talk to Seth, who is the one who puts this together. Okay. I had some of these questions that people ask at my lectures, too. But these are a little complicated, these first ones are. But I just thought, well, maybe people have thought about these mm-hmm. things. We had two where the people wanted to know about the nature of God. There's one. Let's get that first, then. Before I go into this, it's going to be a deep subject. Okay, who's there?
Hello, this is Jackie Dolores. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Okay, I had a question for you. I wondered, because you are able to work with your clients at the somnambulist level, you have some critics that say that the responses that you get may not be accurate because they come from the subconscious. How do you react to that?
Well, what they're talking about, the subconscious, that's the part I don't work with. The subconscious part that the psychiatrist define as the subconscious is the childish part of your mind. That's the part that the hypnotists use in the light levels, especially when they're trying to have habits, stop smoking, lose weight. That's the light level. That's the subconscious mind that most of the psychiatrists refer to. I don't work with that part.
Well, in that part, you still have a lot of conscious intervention.
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't. It wouldn't.
So you're working at a deeper level, which is beyond the subconscious, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Whenever you go to the deep level, you get that old conscious mind out of the picture. And then you can get to the real source of knowledge, because the part that I work with, I call it the source of all knowledge. It has all of the answers. and there isn't anything you can ask and get. And also, if I ask the same question through hundreds of people and they're all saying the same thing, no matter how strange it may sound, you have to figure that gives it validity, because they don't know what I'm looking for, they don't know what the other people have said, and they all say the same thing. But the answers I get are answers that nobody knows.
Right, but you might also define, you know, if she has a hang-up with the word subconscious,
yeah,
you know, you just call it that, but that's
yeah,
not what...
Because when I first found out how to contact this part that I work with, that I can reach in the somnambulistic level, I didn't know what to call it, because I knew it mm-hmm. wasn't that other part, that what I call the childish part. It wasn't that. It was so much, much bigger. So I was calling it the subconscious, because I didn't know what else to call it. They said, we don't care what you call us. We don't have a name anyway. We'll work with you. But if you want to define it, the part that I'm working with is the higher consciousness, the oversoul, the higher self. It's what the early psychiatrists, Freud and Jung, were calling the universal consciousness. That's the part I work with, and that's the part that has all of the answers. So I've never had a critic say that I was working with this childish part.
No, but you're saying that they weren't always accurate.
They were concerned that maybe the responses weren't always accurate. I actually read that one of your reviewers had said that, and I was just curious. I was more interested in what you had to say about it, how you responded to that, and that's, you've given me a very, very good insight. You're saying that you work at the level of the oversoul or the higher self, or what Jung called the universal consciousness, which is
yeah,
the source of all knowledge. So then
I found a way to contact that, and most of the other hypnosis methods, they say don't go to the deep level because strange things happen there. Well, if you read my books, you know strange things happen there. They don't know how to handle it, so they just leave it alone and keep the person at the light level, where the conscious mind is very active. And the conscious mind is what makes the mistakes and the inaccuracies.
Right. That makes sense. That you were, at first, you had the impression that that would be where things might get out of control at that level. But I've also heard it said, I heard it last night, someone commented on your method, and they said that at the light level, damage can be done. They didn't really elaborate on that. I'm not sure that damage can be done at the light level.
I don't know what they mean. What do they mean by damage can be done?
I'm not sure. It was one of those statements that was made. It was a very general statement, and I'm still pondering it. They would have to say more, because I'm not clear.
Well, I know at the lighter levels, they're not going to get enough information. They're not going to get the real accurate information, because the conscious mind is in there with its input.
They're very much in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they always say they're very worried about losing control during a session. That doesn't happen, because they're in more control than they are when they're awake. Even in a light level, if something was going on the person didn't like, they would either wake themselves up, they'd stop the session in some way. But, of course, anything can be dangerous in the wrong hands. There are some hypnotists out there who use those light levels to implant suggestions that are not good for the person or that are harmful. Now, that depends on the integrity of the hypnotist. But usually, this part that I work with that's always there, it's like the guardian of the person. And if that part, I call it the subconscious, I don't know what else to call it, if that part doesn't trust the person that they're working with, the hypnotist, it won't allow information to come in through, and it will stop the session.
It won't allow it to get very deep or anything.
No, it won't allow it to happen, because it doesn't trust the person.
Right.
There has to be that trust established. But anything can cause damage if a hypnotist uses any method in the wrong way.
any person using something. I mean,
it's yes,
cool.
And but you are really unique in the sense that you do past life regressions at the somnambulist level, whereas many
yeah.
other hypnotherapists are doing past life regression, but they're not doing it at quite at the deep level that you're working. So
exactly.
they probably are getting different results that are not quite as valuable for the...
Yeah, they're working at the light level. If you do a past life regression at the somnambulistic level, the person becomes the other personality totally, and they travel back through time, like going through a time tunnel. And it's a huge difference between that and the light level.
Right.
That makes sense.
At the light level, your conscious mind's in there interpreting what it thinks it's seeing or what it thinks is maybe the scenario. And
yeah.
so that's where you can get inaccuracies because you've got that conscious mind in there. Where the other way, that is a person, and that they know it to be true because they are living it.
So. Yeah, anything from this life, they wouldn't even recognize in that life at all. I find that interesting when I bring up an object or even a phrase from our time. They don't know what you're talking about because they are actually in that other time totally. But, yeah, that's what I always talk about. The conscious mind, when that's in there, it's very active in the light level. So sometimes the person will be thinking, oh, this is silly. What am I saying this for? I'm making it up. Oh, I read this in a book, I saw it in a movie, jabber, jabber, jabber. That's the
mm-hmm.
conscious mind, and it tries to change what it's seeing. Mm-hmm. It, oh, this is not right, I'm making it up. You see the difference in the light level?
Yes, I do, because at that level you need more assistance. The person is asked to go through a door and to imagine certain things, but they may not, they need a lot of help to get to be able to interpret what it is that they see. They need continual, feedback. But at the deeper level, they become that person who they're completely immersed in the past life.
Yeah.
So it's really quite different.
You can't change what they're saying. Sometimes if I'll say something, do you see this or that? And they'll say, oh, no, that's not what I'm seeing. They will not mm-hmm. imagine anything, and they won't make anything up at that level. They're extremely accurate.
Are you ever concerned, because you do teach such a very unique way of accessing the past lives and getting getting to the source of all knowledge, are you ever concerned when you train your people, once you cut them loose, that they may not adhere to ethics and integrity in the field?
Well, I always hope they are going to stay ethical because, you know, that's one of the things, any kind of a medical field or any kind of work like this, that you do maintain ethics because if you don't, it's going to come back on you anyway. But I have found out that this part that I work with, if you're not going to use it in the right way, it won't cooperate with you, and you won't get any results at all. Because if somebody does intend to use it in the wrong way, they won't get good results. It just won't happen.
Oh, and that's very interesting.
In my classes, I always emphasize this, that I've spent almost 40 years developing this technique, and I found all of the, the possibilities and probabilities. So I have made so many safeguards in this technique that nothing can go wrong, nothing can happen to the person if you follow what I say. So that's why I'm very stern about that in my classes. If you must do this the way I tell you to do it, nobody will be harmed, nobody will have any ill effects at all. They come out feeling absolutely wonderful. They're healed, and they have all of their problems. They have the answers they need. But if you try to go off and use it for another purpose, it's not going to work.
And I've noticed some people, too, it's like, because we tell people if you're going to someone, you know, see if they resonate with you. And we've had some people come back, it's like, I don't know what it is about that person, but I don't want anything to do with them. Well, I think that's part of this whole thing that happens. From them, it's just they create something, you know, so that people will not be attracted to them to do anything.
And, because I say trust your instincts. If you don't feel comfortable with the therapist, then just don't work with them because you're not going to get results.
Right.
Because that part that's the guardian will keep you anything from happening. That's not correct.
And but that's very good to know.
Right.
Yeah, my job is to protect the person, and so I'm very careful. And I try to train my students this way, but we've trained thousands now.
Right.
I can just hope that they're doing it correctly.
Well, and we're putting in some more levels and certification programs so that we will be able to fine-tune that more so that we can make sure we'll have a better understanding of what everybody's doing out there, and we can endorse them in a different way with full knowledge of what they're doing. So
to be sure they're doing it correctly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're developing other, like you said, other levels and mm-hmm. tests to make sure
right.
they are doing. Otherwise, we won't recommend them.
Exactly. Yeah.
They may take the class, but it's not with our backing. That
right. We want to create something where we're backing them, you know, so that people feel good about, you know, who they're going to.
Yeah, they're going to say they're using my technique. I want to make sure they're doing it correctly and safely to help the person.
Well, and on that note, because we've had some people who are saying they're using her technique and they're not. They're just writing on that name. And so that's where we want to create something to where you know exactly, you know, if they're on our list, then, and that's a list that we will be creating. It's not there yet. But if they're on our list, then that means that we are endorsing them. They do
yeah.
know what they're doing.
And that's very important. You've put so much effort into building in protections and safeguards, as you said, working with the guardian of the mind, that would be a very important step.
Right. Well, we just had enough people that we've trained now that it's becoming a necessity. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to do this. Uh-huh. But we're not going to leave them out there to dry. We're going to make sure that this is done correctly.
Right.
But, you know, like anybody can say they are doing it and they're not, you know. So I just hope anybody
Fine.
Who's looking for one of my students, check them out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Dolores. I appreciate your responses very much.
Okay, and I hope I clarified that about those two parts of the mind there.
Oh, yes, you did. In fact, it's so interesting that you are able to access what you call the Oversoul and the universal consciousness. I think that's very, very different from what people have said about the subconscious level and the inaccuracies that can ensue. So you did clear that up very well, and I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Because I've worked with them so long, I know them very well now, and they're never wrong. First, they give you the advice. Mm-hmm. You have your free will. Whether you want to follow it or not. But
to access it, what you call the Oversoul.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a great deal of sense, and it's also good to know that you know, in reading your book, when you read the case studies, that the information is drawn from that very deep level.
Yeah,
and that those
because
people are responding.
Thousands and thousands of cases. I don't write about all of them because there's way too many. I just pull out the ones where I think there is different kinds of information that people would be interested in. But with so many cases and the subconscious always sounding the same, I know I'm in touch with the same thing all the time.
That's right. You have similar experiences being reported to you.
Yeah. Over and over again, and that can't be made up. Okay, but let me know if you hear anybody else saying anything that I want to clear up any inaccuracies out there.
Well, that information I got from one of your book reviewers, that was one of their comments, and the other one came from, it might be best to email you the exact information so I won't discuss anything that I perhaps shouldn't mention any names.
Okay.
On the air.
Sometimes when they do the book reviews, they usually let us know they're going to do, and they send us copies of what it is, and they say, is this okay?
Yeah, but they're going to be that person's opinion.
Yeah, so they're entitled to their own opinion. And sometimes on Amazon, people send in their own opinions, and I don't know, they don't understand what I'm doing. They're coming to their own conclusions. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Well, so how many people, they read the entire book, and they still come back thinking that you're channeling or something.
And I'm not. Like, I don't channel. That's what they say. I said, I know I'm not a psychic. I don't channel. I'm just a reporter. But I
You've
would appreciate it
clear.
If you could email me some of those so I would know what's going on out there. I don't know what people are saying.
What is the correct email?
Oh, decannon@msn.com.
MSN.com. So it's, you said D like dog, B like boy?
No, D like dog, E like Edward, C-A-N-N-O-N.
Oh, okay, D.E. Cannon.
Yeah. D.E. Cannon at msn.com.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay.
I'll certainly email that to you.
All right, I'm always interested.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's always interesting to see what the feedback that you're getting. I think it gives you, it's just interesting to read, to know what people are, what's on their mind.
Very good.
All right,
well, thanks again
you.
For your time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Here's another one. Okay. Well, it's okay if
That's
we
fine.
Take calls. And I've got these questions if we need them. Okay, who's there now?
Good evening, Mrs. Cannon.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of yours. I just registered for your class in July, July 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
Arkansas.
A little, that's right, and I'm a little anxious about that. I can't wait, really. I have a couple of questions. I was going to be a listener today only, but I heard that you're going out of town again, so I figure I just have to call and ask you this because it's very important to me. I have a 10-year-old who has autism, and I wanted to ask you, in all the years that you've worked with regression, what information have you collected on this issue, autism?
Well, I have collected a lot, but I will recommend a doctor that we know who works exclusively with autism. I don't want to get into controversy on the radio, but did your son have shots whenever he was little?
Actually, yes.
Because that was what
yes.
these doctors that I work with say. It goes back to those shots. Because they have them before. It's not your fault. This is just the way things have happened. But they get these shots when their immune system is too... It's not developed enough to handle all those chemicals. And this can cause the autism. Well, I know a doctor who has left the medical profession because he couldn't take it anymore, and he's had his own natural health clinic. And he is specializing in autism. And he's been studying it from a doctor that began in the 1960s on it. He's been on my show, and I can give you his name. He's located in Tennessee. I don't know if that's close to where you live or not.
Yes.
Is that around where you live?
Yes, I'm in Georgia.
Oh, okay. Well, he's in Tennessee, and what he discovered that it can be cured. Doesn't matter what the doctors say, it can be cured. And the cure is with diet, and you have to take
right.
certain things out of the diet. And he said if the parents, mostly is the ones he has to work with, they have to eliminate certain things from the diet, and even one day makes a huge difference if they follow what he tells them to do. So it can be worked with. And this is what he's devoted. He is a natural health clinic, but he's mostly devoted to the autism. So I can give you his name if you want to contact him.
Sure.
Okay. Dr. Anthony.
Anthony? Okay.
Chapdelaine. I'll have to spell it for you. Chapdelaine. It's Chapdelaine.
Chapdelaine.
And you said, remember roughly when you did that show with him? Because there's a whole show done with him.
I did a whole show, yeah, where he talked about the autism and the diets and how it was working. He has a website people can check in on. I don't know if he looks them up on the internet, he might be able to find them.
Maybe, yeah.
I think his clinic is outside of Nashville.
How long ago was the interview? Maybe
it's been a few years now. I must say about 4 years ago, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah, I can look through here while
yeah,
you're talking.
Yeah, she can look at my book. I have my book right here. She can look through it. And we can.
I'll give you the exact date here in a minute.
Because you have access to the archives, don't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, she's going to look through here and see if she can find it. But, see, I've been, I had this show since 2005, so it's now 6-7 years. So maybe she can find it in there, and she can tell you.
This is very good information. You know, I had a reading because of your program. I get to know Michael Dennis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We interviewed a few programs ago, yeah. And because he was highly recommended by you guys. I never done this, but I went to him and had a reading, and one of my questions was about autism. And he pointed out that this is a very special people that come here to help us. And
well,
with a mission,
see,
with a mission.
If you go
in the
back
world,
to
yeah,
when you're on
the
spiritual
side. That's right.
When you're on the spirit side, before you come into a life, you make your plan of what you hope to accomplish in the next lifetime. And, you know, you make your contracts and what's with people, what you're going to accomplish, and you also make your plan. And sometimes, see, nothing is an accident. Part of your plan may be that you decide to develop this problem. And whatever you do, it's part of the contract to see what will I learn from this. Also, what are you learning from having a son like that?
Oh, I've learned a lot. My life pretty much changed with my daughter. Actually, it's a little girl.
Daughter, okay.
It's a daughter, okay.
Yeah,
well, you
totally
see, that's
changed.
That's the purpose, because even in my classes, I talk about there are more souls in line for the handicapped bodies than there are for the normal bodies. And Grace says, well, what do you mean by that? They said because they found they can repay more karma in a body that has problems than in a normal body. So that's why you shouldn't, you know, you see somebody in a wheelchair or a retarded person or something, that means they chose that to learn from. And they can pay back more karma in one life than it would normally take them 10 lives to pay off. And
that's right. I heard that before. I've heard that before, and I was thinking, and then I should go and up and try to fix that then. Lately, I think God or the universe or whatever the energy is out there is putting a lot of things in my way to for my daughter to get better. It's funny
but
that
see,
you mentioned diet because right
learning.
Now...
Look what she is learning. Look what you are learning. And look what everybody who comes in contact with her is learning. So it is very valuable. That's why you never look down on these things. They're for a reason. But, like I said, it can be cured. Maybe she doesn't have to have that lesson anymore, and she can move on. Julia has found
like
it here in the book.
Okay. Yeah, it was show number 61, and it was aired on July 27th of 2007.
Show
you want to write it down?
In 2007.
Yeah, it was July 27th
July
in 2007. 27. It was show number 61.
Got
I don't know.
It.
I don't remember.
If
I don't think they're numbered in there, but just in case they are, that would be it. So.
I think they've got them according
thank you very
to the
much.
Date.
Yeah, I know the dates are
thank
on there.
Okay,
thank you
so
very much,
that's,
Julie.
It's July 27th, 1907. It's Dr. Anthony Chapdelaine.
Chapdelaine, yes.
Yeah,
I appreciate that
information.
And one last question, since I'm so I'm so anxious about this class coming in July. I really want to get the most out of the class, and I'm an electrical engineer, and you would think that I'm using my left brain more than the other side, but I never taken any hypnosis class or anything like that, but your material is just so interesting. I had to take this class. I think this is one opportunity of a lifetime, and I think this and one other one is going to be only taught in U.S., so I thought, this is it. Now, my question is there any way that I can prepare just to get the most out of that class? I still have 4 months before that class starts.
That's a long time to prepare. But, you know,
I really want to get the most out of it.
Because we're having this one in L.A., then I think that is the other one is in July.
No, then in November.
November? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the only ones. We're going to have them all over the world, but those are the only ones right here. But a lot of people tell me, they say, I don't know anything about hypnosis. Can I take the class? Will I be able to learn it? And they're worried about it. But I said, no, the ones who really want to learn, I think they're better at it than the ones who have had hypnosis.
Right. We look for that passion factor, which I can hear in your voice. People, the passion after this work and to help people. And if you've got that, then everything else will fall into place. She teaches you everything you need to know to do her technique. And so you don't have to be concerned about that. The most we might do to help you prepare is, and it sounds like you're already doing that, and that's reading some of her books. So probably the best ones to actually prepare you for some of this. People have said that Between Death and Life and Five Lives Remembered are excellent to prepare you for kind of the general process. Now, some of the
Five Lives
layout
Remembered
material,
I didn't know about
books,
that one.
But, you know. But, yeah, if you just read some of her books, you'll have a better understanding of her, which is about the best preparation you can have. So.
Excellent.
But I go into
right,
a lot
then.
Of detail.
Yeah.
I go into a lot of detail to make sure everybody understands exactly how to do this. And then, as we said earlier, we don't leave you out there by yourself. We have a support group, too. Because that way the people, they're having problems, they're making mistakes, so they don't know how to do it.
Or you're second-guessing yourself, usually, is what everybody's doing.
Yeah, are they, does they say it's not working or something, they're freaking doing it wrong? Well, they can email, and the other students can give them help and answers, and if they can't help give you the answers, we do in the office. So we have a very active support group to help anybody who has taken the class.
Right.
Excellent.
And then we're starting
I thought about taking my daughter to you for a regression, but then I learned that you don't do regression on children. What's the age limit on that?
I don't like to work on anyone younger than 16 or 17, and some 16-year-olds are too young. Because I don't want, my job is to protect people, and I don't want to do anything that's going to upset them. Because some kids are not ready to go into past lives. Then some of them say, oh, yes, my child is ready and all of that. But then, you know, they might have problems with the other ones in school or something if they say something and they ridicule them. You know, so I'm very protective. But I don't think we have as good a result in a child as we do when they begin to get older. But I have
they have autism, right?
Well, absolutely. But like she's getting ready to tell you, there is something else she can do.
Yeah, we have found another way of doing this, and usually I don't bring this up until the advanced class. But we found ways to work like a surrogate, to work through somebody else, especially if somebody close, like a parent, they'll come to me and they say, my child has problems. We can work through the parent, and we've had excellent results that way. Mm-hmm. So there is a way to do it. But these are all things that I've discovered in these years of doing this.
And when are you going to be back in town in order to do that? If I choose to.
Bear in mind, her waiting list is 2 years long.
That's why I have to give my classes.
So the class is my best shot.
That's why I have to give the classes. There's so many people that want help, and I can't see everybody. And we're packed. Every time I am home, it's all booked in around my travels.
Right.
And, we're already booking for this year. So it would be very hard to get in, and I'm sorry about that. But I think Dr. Chamberlain would help you with...
In the immediate, and then you can get more answers whenever you get to the class.
Actually, I have another doctor that thinks the same, that diet is the answer, and he's going to work at the DNA level.
Uh-huh.
So, well, a few years ago, there was some movie star.
Uh-huh, it was...
This movie star was going all over the United States lecturing because her son...
Jenny McCarthy.
Who?
Jenny McCarthy.
That's right, Jenny McCarthy.
Her son had autism, and she found out how to cure it with the diet. And she was lecturing everywhere trying to tell people, and the doctors really came down on her. They were really angry at her. They said she was making all this up, that it didn't happen. And she had videos of her son when he was bad, and then as he gradually came out of it, but they just didn't like it because she was telling people.
Yeah, and she's somebody they would listen. People would listen to.
Yeah, she was famous enough. Yeah. They would listen to what she was saying, and the doctors were not happy. Mm-hmm. But that's I
she
kept watching that.
Sudden,
that's the same thing that Dr. Chamberlain tells people. It's the diet.
That's right. Well, thank you very much to you, Mrs. Cannon and Julia. You guys, you are doing a great job. And just keep
and
it up.
We'll,
thank you very much.
What was your name again?
My name is Miguel.
Miguel.
I actually called a couple of programs ago. We talked about the Spanish books, remember?
Oh,
and
yes,
I was just going to be a listener today, like I said, but I have to ask you about these out too.
Well, we look forward to seeing you then in July.
Yeah, we're having our conference first. We have our 3-day conference in July, and we're having the class immediately afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I did find the Spanish books, by the way, not the Cobolded Universe, but I found Nostradamus 2 you have on Amazon. But to my surprise, it's like 8 times more expensive than the English version. I don't know why. There must be a good reason.
Well, they have to ship it over from Spain.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, ladies,
we'll
and you
best.
Have a great evening.
Thank Bye-bye. You,
Miguel.
And we'll see you in July. And I hope you enjoy the class then. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, well, boy, this time is going fast because everybody's been calling in.
That's good.
I hate to get into a deep subject here, but
pick a lighter one.
Well, if we only got about another 5 minutes or so, so I don't want to get into something really deep. That's the thing. But the one they wanted to know about God, this one email said, if God created the aliens and the aliens created us, who created God? I've been thinking about this all of my life.
The other gods.
Well, that's the same thing. Because that's what they don't understand, and I didn't know it either because I have all these questions and I always want to find out more, is that we think God is the ultimate because that's all we know, but we kept asking questions, and it's in my Convoluted Universe book. There are several cases where they said there's others beyond God. God was created by another God, and that God was created by another God, so it's endless.
Right.
This God that we know of is the God of our universe. And there's other gods of other universes. And that's why all the universes have different laws and regulations, and they're all worked in different ways. Right. And they told me some of these universes you couldn't possibly understand because they talked about planets that are like square, oblong, like triangles, and that have all kinds of weird, strange orbits, loop-de-loops, and And I said, well, those things don't obey the law of physics. And they said they obey the law of physics in that universe. Right. So every universe has a different type of rules and regulations, I guess you would say, and doesn't make sense to us because it's not what we know. We know the rules in this universe. But so all of these different universes, and there are countless ones. I was surprised when the first time I ever heard the word universes, I thought there was just the universe and that was it. But in my early days of my work, I found out there's more than one. Now I know there's countless universes, and each one has different rules and regulations. Each one has their own god. Then you have other gods over all of that. So it's an endless thing.
And how big is big? And when you could talk about those universes within the fibers of the car, of the rug,
yeah,
that's giving you an indication of, well, somebody made the rug. Somebody made, just like it keeps going bigger, you know, and it gives you an idea of how the thing moves out. So.
Yeah, mentally, I tell people within your body you have a universe, mm-hmm. an entire universe within your body, all the cells and all the organs. That's why you can talk to your body and have healing, because it listens to you. You are the voice of God when you talk to the universe within your body. So I don't think we have gotten away from the primary idea that there is just one God, and that may sound sacrilegious to some of you. But it just means that this is much, much bigger than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
But if you think of God, then you are the God of your body.
That's right, which we are.
And that's universe. Mm-hmm. And how do we know we aren't? Our planet is not a cell mm-hmm. in a body.
Well, and we are a cell on this planet. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Some of us are cancerous, and some of us are, you know, a healthy cell.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but, you know, we've heard that
the planet, see, that's moving it up step by step. So
yeah, how do we know we are not a cell in a body, and all
mm-hmm.
the space out there and mm-hmm. all the stars and everything are other cells in a body? Because I'm always telling people we are cells in the body of God.
Right.
So it can really bend your mind. It can really make you think, because this is what my books are about. I said for people who want their minds bent like pretzels, throw out an idea that makes you think. That I don't know if it's true or not, but at least it makes you think. And whenever they bring up these things in my sessions, I know there's coming from somewhere. And it's real, it's true, it's just that we have not considered those things before. They said we don't even have a fraction of an idea of what it's really all about. That we can't possibly know at all, not while we're in a human body. It's impossible. So we can just know the little bits and pieces that we're allowed to have access mm-hmm. to. But it's actually so big and so wonderful that there's no way you could know it all.
Well, I know sometimes I've been given, you know, you get little glimpses of something, and you can tell your mind is really having a problem with it because it's asking a lot of your mind. You really have to open it. And it does. It has problems with that. And so that's why it comes back into something that's narrower that it can deal with.
The ones I work with have said, it's not the brain, it's the mind. That the mind does not have any concepts okay. to explain it all. It's impossible for the mind to have the concepts while you're in a human body. And so they do the best they can to explain things and keep it simple. I tell them, give me analogies, give me pictures, explanations. That's the best way to explain things. That's what I write about. But the human mind cannot know it all because it doesn't have the concepts. And I had somebody at one of my classes said, oh, but I want to know it all. And I said, sorry, you're not ever going to know it all as long as you're in the human body. Of course, when you get out of the human body, then it's all clear.
But, Grant, you would, I mean, I've noticed that I have more concepts now than I had, say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So we evolve,
yes.
But we never will get to the point where we can have all of the concepts. That, you know, the brain, the mind can't do that. But we definitely have more than we had even yesterday. You know?
Yeah,
so,
that's mm-hmm. what's happening now. Everything is speeded up and it's evolving. Well, I've grown.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting now, I could never have understood 20, 30 years ago in the beginning of my work. Because we're only given just as much as we can handle. They're very kind that way. Otherwise, you'd be totally overwhelmed, and you wouldn't understand it. You'd throw it away. So they give you little bits and pieces, little crumbs, I say, little spoonful. Here, digest this. Then, after you've digested that, we'll give you a little more and a little more until finally you get to the point that you don't realize how much you've learned and how much you've changed.
Yeah, until you look back, how you looked at things before.
Yeah, way so, back then. Some of my books, people say they want to read them in the order they were written. And in the beginning, of course, I did believe differently. I didn't have all these concepts. And they'll ask me at a lecture sometimes, why did you say this in this book, and now you're saying this? That's because that was the way I thought at that time. And my thought process has changed. So it's not that it was wrong. It's just that that's our concept, and our concepts change as we grow. So if they read them in the order I wrote them, they'll see how I evolved.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, boy, we have come to the top of the hour that fast. I guess I'm going to save all of those questions until we have another show when we don't have anything to go on.
Right.
Well, as I said, we'll be back the middle of March, and until then, it'll be archive shows, and we're going to get out of here before the cold weather hits.
Well, the cold weather's here, just the snow. We'll be out before the snow.
It will be out before the snow. Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I appreciate everybody listening tonight. So everybody have a good life, and I'll be talking to you live in another month.
And thank you for those that have called in.
Yes, it was very enlightening. It was very good. So thank you, and good night, everyone.
Make it great.